are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome. You are locked on to the NBA. My name is Nick Engstead. I'm the host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, social media manager for the Locked On Podcast Network. And today on the Locked On NBA show, we have an entire podcast of predictions for the 2020-2021 NBA season. Our local experts from every single podcast that cover every single team, every day local experts, stop by to share at least one bold prediction for every single team. We've organized them into divisions, so we're going to get into that. Today's episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful engagement ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, let's get into our predictions. There's a ton to get to today, obviously, if you've seen the length of this show today. First up, we're going to get to the Atlantic Division. Couple of trade calls, couple of bold predictions about where teams are going to finish, and then there's one that may just make you cry. New York Knicks. We'll get into that. Here you go.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
You know, I think that right now, as much as I'm hyping the Sixers up, I still don't look at them saying they could go in there and beat Milwaukee. I don't look at them and saying that they could beat Brooklyn. I think they'll have a hard time beating Boston. And Miami, I think, you know, I think they could probably go with Miami with the additions that they have, right? So I look at the Sixers as possibly, you know, battling for that 4-5 seed, maybe even 6. But if they get the 6 seed, I don't see them possibly getting out of the first round, right? If they get the 5 seed, I could see them possibly getting out of the first round and losing in the second round. I think they're still a year away for them to make that jump. Now, again, if they make a trade and they go out there and get a perimeter closer, then yes, I can see them getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. But right now, man, I just don't see it. Like, but if they went out there and got a James Harden, I think that they could go ahead and they could make it to the finals. I do, the Eastern Conference Finals.
The Boston Celtics.
You want a couple predictions for the Boston Celtics? Here you go. Jason Tatum is going to get meaningful MVP talk this season. With no Kemba to start the season, with no Gordon Hayward because he's gone off to Charlotte, Jason Tatum is the focal point of this Boston Celtics offense. If he is able to extend his range like he has said he is trying to do, if he can get that offense started 30 to 35 feet away, and if he can tighten up his handle, it's going to increase his ability to find other guys and make plays. He's going to be a defensive presence as well, and you're going to see a Jason Tatum that fills up the stat sheet and plays both ends of the floor. He's going to be the player that carries the Boston Celtics to a high seed in the East, and that's going to make him an MVP. My second prediction for the Boston Celtics is that Danny Ainge does indeed use that traded player exception, and he gets a meaningful piece that will be part of the playoff rotation. It's not going to be a $28.5 million player. I think he's going to go out there and get somebody that makes between $13 and $18 million a year, a high-level rotation player, and he will get that player and add him by the trade deadline and change the calculus for the Boston Celtics.
The New York Knicks.
All right, Alex, let's get into it. Our two bold predictions to open the season. What's yours?
But I think Frank Ntilikina is going to become the first Knick to sign a rookie extension since Charlie Ward in the 90s, breaking the aptly named by Knicks fans Charlie Ward curse in the most ironic fashion possible. The reason it's ironic is that Frank Ntilikina has survived 3 regimes and has had his name floated in trade rumors more or less since he's been drafted.
All right, and I have RJ Barrett putting up a big statistical season. I think he gets to 20 points. I think he gets to 5 rebounds. I think he gets to 4 assists per game. I'm actually most concerned about that assist number given how many different ball handlers the Knicks are going to play and how little shooting they have around Barrett. But I think Tom Thibodeau is going to follow the trend that he's had through his whole career, and that's playing his big guns, big minutes. I could see RJ hovering right above 35 minutes per night, maybe even approaching 40. I wouldn't be shocked if he was top 10 in the league in minutes per game. I just think he's going to be a fulcrum of a lot of different lineups with his secondary creation ability, ability to get to the free throw line, and hopefully some improved three-point shooting from him. And that's going to lead to a lot of shots. I don't know how efficiently he'll get those 20 points, but I do think he will get there, Alex.
And that is our predictions for the 2020 to 21 Knicks season. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks, and we hope to have you guys listen to us during the season.
The Toronto Raptors.
Hey, it's Sean Woodley here from Locked On Raptors with my two predictions for how this season will go for the Toronto Raptors. Number one, I think OG Anunoby is going to be a first-team all-defense player. He should have been on all-defense last year. He was the best defender on the Raptors, but because the Raptors had a lot of very good defenders, five or six in fact, I think he kind of had his votes cannibalized a little bit, but I think this year he's going to take center stage. He's going to play defense both at the three, the four, and at the five as well, and I think we're going to see him really get his due as one of the best defenders alive and be named that first team all defense. He's really freaking good, and I'm excited for everybody to watch him play and kind of focus in on him more as a guy who very much is a defensive horse in this league. And my second prediction, I have been moving my goalposts on this pretty much since the offseason. At first, I thought the Raptors might be the sixth seed. Then I talked myself into being the four or the five. And now I think I've talked myself, the Toronto Raptors are going to be the two seed in the Eastern Conference. They just win games, man. Kyle Lowry drives winning like very few players have over the last decade in the NBA. They have a lot of interesting sort of flyer-type players. If a couple of those guys hit, a Paul Watson, a DeAndre Bembry, a Malachi Flynn, their first-round pick, if a couple of those guys really find themselves in the rotation, this is going to be a deep and good team that is not going to have that much of a drop-off from the 53-19 season they had last year over 72 games. And so, yeah, number two overall seed, your Toronto Raptors, book it.
The Brooklyn Nets.
What's your big prediction for how this year turns out?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of things to pull from here because there's tantalizing storylines, I think, throughout this roster, as we know. But I take a look over there at the bench. I go ahead and pull from a Locked On Network resource over on betonline.ag. Steve Nash, odds on favorite at plus 750 to win Coach of the Year. I think he's going to be from a couple of different levels. It's not just about the X's and O's aspect of it. Like, I think you can already get that sense of his ability to manage these personalities, to get the most out of a Kyrie Irving, to not worry about a Kevin Durant. With expectations as high as they are for Brooklyn, I think that also increases the likelihood that Steve Nash gets rewarded if the season goes right.
I think right now, the starting lineup that we see on opening night will be at least two players different by the end of the season. They finally come to the realization that Jared Allen should be the starting center, and that's assuming he isn't packaged together. So I think at minimum, they come to the realization that Jared Allen should be the starting center over DeAndre Jordan. And if there is a trade to be made, consolidating some pieces like Spencer Dinwiddie or maybe even Jared Allen together to move Caris LeVert into the starting lineup, or all three of them go and we bring in another superstar, let's say, whether it's a James Harden. I doubt it's going to be Bradley Beal. But there are always names that tend to crop up as the season goes along. Looking forward to a great season for the Brooklyn Nets. Should be exciting.
All right, coming up, a couple of all-star calls. One of them may knock you out of your chair. A couple of trade calls and a couple other awards predictions from our hosts. And then obviously the rest of the NBA teams. If you're waiting for yours, we have it covered. And you know who else has you covered is betonline.ag. It's the number one place, the only place that has you covered for everything. And it's a place that we trust. Betonline.ag. Sign up for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Right now, if you go to betonline.ag, they have some wild odds coming up for MVP. This is the one that I'm really looking at. Luka Doncic, I'm the host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, so I'm looking at Luka. He's plus 275 right now for MVP. That's the odds-on favorite. But the one that I'm really interested in is Nikola Jokic. Plus 2,800 for Nikola Jokic to win MVP. I kind of think he has the same odds as Luka Doncic. So go check out betonline.ag. All kinds of odds up there for NBA futures, NBA game by game. Of course, NFL, anything that you want. Boxing, they have darts, golf, hockey, I mean, martial arts, all kinds of stuff you can get into. So Don't miss out on anything. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, here we go. We're back with more predictions from every single one of our Locked On NBA hosts about every single team. If you haven't heard your team yet, it is coming up. A couple of all-star selections, a couple of awards predictions. We're going to hear from that, from the Central Division. Here we go.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
And as far as predictions go for this season, I do predict the Bucks are going to be a fantastic regular season team. I do think they will be a top two seed again. All the questions, again, lie with the postseason. But another prediction I've got, Drew Holiday, he's going to be an all-star. He comes into this team, high expectations, marquee acquisition for the Bucks. He's averaged around 20 points and 7 assists per game over the last three seasons in New Orleans. He was an all-star back in 2013. But I think playing next to Chris Middleton and Giannis is going to boost his game to another level. Eric Bledsoe was on the fringe of all-star selection the last two seasons. I think the added offense you'll get from Drew Holiday, again, working in this offense, again, playing next to a guy like Giannis, I think that's going to boost him up to an all-star level. And I think he will get the nod because we know coming from the West to the East, there are more opportunities to take those spots.
The Chicago Bulls.
One or two more predictions for us here before we get out of here, Jordan. I'll start with mine. A bold prediction, and it's coming from somebody who has refused to give up on Lauri Markkanen. I think we're going to see a slight dip in Zach LaVine's usage percentage. Billy Donovan's going to try and spread the ball around more, find more advantageous looks for Lowry to get him back on track. And I am predicting 20-plus points per game and in the neighborhood of 10 rebounds per game from Lauri Markkanen in his fourth season.
Woo! That is one bold prediction. I hope it comes correct, Matt. And the Bulls certainly need it. My bold prediction for this season is that one of two big men are going to be dealt, whether it be Wendell Carter Jr. or Lauri Markkanen. I don't believe the front court of the Bulls' future looks like Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. This goes back to what new front office representative Arturis Karnišovas had to say about wanting a playmaking guard. Should Coby White maybe still need a little bit of time to develop as the point guard? I think you use Wendell Carter Jr. or Lauri Markkanen as a trade chip to go find that star point guard the Bulls have been desperately looking for the last decade since Derrick Rose. So that is my prediction, Matt. Before the trade deadline coming up, I believe that one of those two guys will be dealt this off or this season.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
So today we're here with Cleveland Cavaliers predictions. We're each going to make one. Evan, why don't you go first?
Well, we talked about what the kind of Cavs team are expecting this year, and I think a good analogy is they're a spoiled rich kid who's father pays for a lot of their projects in college, and you know, before they go to college, they have a gap year where they get to figure themselves out and find themselves before they really find their identity. And like you said, 2020 fun is going to be that year for the Cavs where they find their identity. So my bold prediction for this year is they are surprisingly not going to be a playoff team, but we're going to see a lot of tangible growth from their young guys, especially in Colin Sexton, and I think he's going to be a most improved player candidate.
My prediction is about the other Cavs backcourt player, key young player, that is, and that's Darius Garland. I think when we're done at this end of this season, I think that Darius Garland is going to be, if not the clear-cut number one most interesting Cavs prospect, I think he's going to be in the conversation with Sexton and perhaps Okoro or Kevin Porter Jr. All of the buzz about Garland right now is just so positive. He's added a healthy amount of muscle. He looks stronger. I think his feel for the game is underrated at this point, and I think what he's going to do as a passer, as a creator, as a guy that can get off shots from deep and is, I think, something that went a little bit underrated last year, I think is really going to push him up and make him just a really key figure in what the Cavs are doing going forward. Obviously, injury concerns have been real with him, but I'm giving him a mulligan in last year, and I think, again, all the buzz about him right now is just so positive that I'm buying in, and I'm going to label myself here a Darius Garland believer.
The Indiana Pacers.
One I'm going to make is more bold, and one is a little less bold, so let's do it. The more bold one is that TJ Warren is going to be near or is going to be an all-star. He was fantastic in the bubble last year, and I think that was an eye-opening experience for the Pacers front office, who can now turn around and say, okay, we know that this guy with the ball on the perimeter more often with only one center on the inside can be awesome. How can we set him up in those situations more often to make him great? And the other one is kind of a twofer. One or both of TJ McConnell and Miles Turner will be traded this season is a prediction I have for the Indiana Pacers season. They have a logjam of guards, and the Pacers are slightly over the tax. So TJ McConnell is the easiest, or excuse me, he's the most likely guard to me to get moved. I think Aaron Holiday will jump him in the rotation this year. They have Jeremy Lamb flanking them at the two-guard spot. They have Edmund Sumner as a guy who can come in and be a backup reserve guard if they need it. And so those are two predictions that I have for the Pacers' upcoming season.
The Detroit Pistons.
Hey, this is Matt Shook from Lockdown Pistons with two predictions about the most anticipated team of the NBA season, the Detroit Pistons. I kid. But my first prediction is the Pistons will regret not trading Derrick Rose and will eventually keep him through the life of the contract this season before losing him this offseason and gaining nothing for him on the trade market. I believe this team missed the window last trade deadline or in this past offseason and won't be able to unload him, whether that's because of injuries or a tepid market. And that would be a front office failure if that prediction comes true at the beginning of a rebuild. My second prediction is that Isaiah Stewart, the center out of Washington, picked number 16 by the Pistons, will be the most productive of the Pistons rookies, despite the fact that he's the least heralded of the first round picks. Number 7, Killian Hayes. Number 19, Sadiq Bey, being the two others. Those are my two bold predictions. I am Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, coming up, a couple more All-Star selections. If everybody got an All-Star selection that was predicted an All-Star selection, there'd be like 30 All-Stars after the end of this podcast. And of course, the entire Western Conference, we still have to go. We'll do the Southeast first, but then we'll get to the Western Conference. But before we get to that, oh, you know, if you listen to any single NBA show, Locked On NBA show, any Locked On show really, you know how much we love Built Bars. This is not a bar that you've had before. This is a protein bar. It tastes like a candy bar. And just a testament of how good Built Bars are, we all were sent them free and we still order them. I just got some. I've ordered them several times afterwards. My co-host Isaac has ordered them several times after. I know a bunch of people on this network that have ordered them afterwards and have paid their own money that they probably make from this podcast that Built Bar has given them and given that back to Built Bar to get money from them or to get the Built Bars from them. They are delicious. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for a keto diet. They're absolutely delicious. 18 incredible flavors. Go check it out at BuiltBar.com. You can find the bars that are great for you. I love the cookies and cream one. Those are delicious. I like the raspberry. The orange is kind of good if you like a little bit of citrus. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, now let's get to the Southeast Division. Hawks, Heat, Hornets, Magic, Wizards, the last of the Eastern Conference. We'll get to them. A couple of All-Star picks. Here we go.
The Atlanta Hawks.
This is Brad Rowland, the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, with a pair of predictions for the upcoming season. From a player standpoint, I am going on the record right now and saying that Trae Young will lead the NBA in assists this season. He came actually closer than people thought he might have last season while playing with a very, very underwhelming supporting cast. This time around, he has real shooters, real scorers around him, and Trae Young is one of the best passers in the league with high usage. So he will lead the league in assists. And from a team perspective, I'm going on record as saying the Hawks will crack the top 7 in the Eastern Conference. Most people have a top 7 that is pretty consistent, but for my money, I think the Hawks are the more talented team when compared to the Indiana Pacers. I will pick them to finish 7th in the Eastern Conference with the ability to potentially even go higher than that, but I'll be a little bit safer at this point in time and say 7th, but that's still higher than the consensus. So Hawks over Pacers, and there you have it.
The Miami Heat.
Two predictions for this team. Bam Adebayo will win the Defensive Player of the Year. So much of the attention last season was on Jimmy and his fit in Miami. Everyone was wondering when the other shoe would fall and if it would disrupt the team like he allegedly had in Philadelphia and Minnesota. What they should have been looking at is how good Bam is as a defender. He might not put up big numbers, but he guards 1 through 5 as well as anyone in the league, and he will get the recognition he deserves when he finally wins the Defensive Player of the Year award. Tyler Hero will lead the team in scoring. I think Spo finds a way to ease the load on Butler, and that Bam, while he'll be more aggressive on occasion throughout the season, he won't be expected to put up points for this team. That's where Hero fits in. If he starts, I think he leads the team in scoring, even if it's just by a slight margin. Last season, no player cracked 20 points per game, but six players averaged between 14 and 19 points per game, including Tyler Hero. I think he has the aggressive, the temperament, and the mentality to go look for his shot and the ability to go knock it down.
The Charlotte Hornets.
A couple predictions I have revolve around Jalen McDaniels and Mitch Kupchak. We'll go with the general manager first. I think Mitch Kupchak pulls the trigger on his first in-season trade as a Hornets decision maker. We haven't seen him do that with the Hornets, despite being known as a deal maker in his Lakers days. And I think with the talk surrounding Cody Zeller and even Terry Rozier at the end here, I think Kupchak finally pulls the trigger on one in-season trade. And on to Jalen McDaniels, I think he becomes a frequent part of the rotation. He put on 20 pounds of muscle this offseason, which was one of the things he needed to fix most. His shot has really come along the last 2 years playing basketball, and he was the outright first guy off of the bench in spots last season. And he has a skill set that isn't truly matched amongst the other bench players. Tall and long player that has the mobility to play three, and the three-point shot to stretch the defense has really improved. I love his instincts on the defensive side. I think he's a second-round hit by Mitch Kupchak. He drafted out of San Diego State last season. Should be fun for Jalen McDaniels and what his improvement could bring. For more Hornets coverage on what should be an entertaining year, check us out at Locked On Hornets on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Walker Mail, and my co-host Nada is on Twitter at Nada the Scribe. Year is soon underway. Enjoy the season. We'll keep you covered here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
The Orlando Magic.
Prediction number one. The Orlando Magic will trade Evan Fournier at the trade deadline. This is a big move for the Orlando Magic as Evan Fournier will become a free agent. And the Magic just, frankly, don't have the money to spend on him. I'm recording this on December 5th, so I don't know if the Magic have re-signed Jonathan Isaac to a contract extension at this point. I don't know if they did the same with Markelle Fultz, but it is safe to assume that those players will take the $17 million salary slot that Evan Fournier is in. And frankly, the Magic are not going to pay the luxury tax just for a 7 or 8 seed. So I do think the Magic ultimately trade Evan Fournier at the trade deadline, creating a big hole in their offense in what should be a very difficult second half of the season for an Orlando Magic team that wants to make the playoffs, but a move that is necessary to get something for a valuable asset on the team. I think Evan Fournier would help a playoff caliber team very, very much with his shooting and playmaking ability. My second prediction about the season. The Orlando Magic will have a player on the all-rookie team. It will not be Cole Anthony. I think Chuma Okeke is the best rookie on this Magic team, and I think that he's going to make a major impact for this team pretty quickly, especially considering how long he's been out, having torn his ACL in March 2019. I think Chuma Okeke will make one of the all-rookie teams. He is a strong defender. He is a solid three-point shooter, and I think that he's going to fit in really nicely with this Magic team. I'll go ahead and make a bonus prediction. I think Chuma Okeke is going to be in the starting lineup at some point in the season, or more permanently in the starting lineup at some point during the 2020 season. The Magic staff has been super high on Okeke. They've been telling Magic fans how much they love him. If you go watch his tape, there is a lot to like. I think that he will translate to the NBA fairly quickly, and I think that he'll take on his role very, very, very quickly and be a factor for this Magic team. Those are my two predictions for the Orlando Magic this season. Be sure to follow us on Locked On Magic every day for the latest on the Orlando Magic.
The Washington Wizards.
And let's finish the season preview off with a couple of predictions. I can start it off. We kind of wanted to stray away from the mild sort of takes that, you know, we already both predicted that they'll make the playoffs. And since we both think they'll make the playoffs, I think that's going to lead to Scott Brooks getting a contract extension probably midway through the season. That's kind of like how the Wizards have operated in the past. I'm sure you remember when they made the playoffs, I believe it was in 2013-14 against Chicago, Randy Whitman got the contract extension shortly after. I'm not sure there were many pundits out there arguing that Randy Whitman deserved that extension. That's kind of just how the Wizards have operated, though. This isn't the Toronto Raptors who fired Dwayne Casey after their most impressive season in franchise history to date. These are the Wizards, and the expectations, I think, although higher than in years past, still probably a little lower than other teams in the NBA. So I think Scott Brooks has done a pretty good job developing players like Thomas Bryant. Isaac Bonga has come along. Rui Hachimura, we'll see what he looks like this year. And if they continue to develop and the Wizards make the playoffs, I don't think the Wizards are going to let Scott Brooks go. So what about you, Anthony? Let's finish the season preview off with, give us a flaming hot take if you can, Ant.
We've talked about this before. I mean, we think that Brad was left out of the All-Star weekend and the All-NBA selection due to Washington's record and their struggles. Brad and Russ together, I mean, being one of the best backcourts in basketball, that will put them in position to make the All-Star team and all NBA teams. And for in another, I think Denny will be selected to an all rookie team as well. At 6'9" with a guard handle, real impressive court vision. I think Denny could end up playing a big role off the bench. If he's able to improve his shooting and gain some confidence from outside, he could have a chance to win Rookie of the Year in this mystery draft. So yeah.
So we got two all NBA players. We got the Rookie of the Year. I mean, if our hot takes come to fruition, if they shape up,
you wanted a hot take.
This is probably the most successful Wizards team since 1979, right? I mean, they haven't won 50 games in my lifetime. Certainly, I don't know. Anthony's a little older than me, but certainly haven't won 50 games in his lifetime either. So there you have it, folks. That's our season preview for this pandemic, our pandemic season preview, if you will. We hope you listen throughout the season. I'm Ben. I'm signing off for Anthony and Locked On Wizards. Thanks for listening.
And now to the Western Conference. Here's my division, the Southwest Division, with Luka Doncic, James Harden, if he's still there by the time you're listening to this, Ja Morant, Zion. And is this the last year of Greg Popovich?
The Memphis Grizzlies.
I feel strongly that Ja Morant will earn his first career All-Star nod this season. A big reason why is because without Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson to start the season, a huge, huge responsibility will fall on Ja Morant to be the centerpiece for the Grizzlies offense. And as he improved against competition in the bubble last summer, I think he will continue to improve this year. His efficiency may not be that great. There may be some mistakes, obviously, as he continues to grow as a player. But I think across the board, there will be significant production, probably a few triple-doubles thrown in. And so I do think, especially if the Grizzlies can get off to a good start, I think that Ja Morant will emerge as an all-star selection. He will get his first all-star nod of his career this season. I also feel that when it comes to the Grizzlies, the biggest and most critical stretch of their season will fall between their 2021 MLK Day game against the Phoenix Suns on January 18th through February 1st. Over that stretch of time, 7 of their 8 games will be against other teams with playoff aspirations that will be two game swings, basically, in the Western Conference standings. If the Grizzlies find success during that stretch, especially if they can get Jaren Jackson Jr. back right before or at the beginning of that stretch, it'll be a huge boost to their season. However, if they were to struggle, they again may find themselves in too big of a hole to come out of to really have a chance at making the playoffs.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Hey everyone, Jake Madison here, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, with two predictions about the upcoming NBA season. The first one is, rookies are going to struggle. I hope Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball have great careers. It's just not going to be this year. These guys have about a month of training camp and practices before they're going to be thrown into real live NBA games. They didn't have that long March Madness run for some of them. They weren't getting summer league in after being drafted. They're thrown right into the fire. Rookies often struggle anyway. This rookie class is going to struggle even more, and I'm hopeful that it won't put too much of a damper on their long-term potential. And then my second prediction is Zion Williamson makes an All-Star team this year. No restrictions in training camp for him. He seems fully healthy, and he says he's in some of the best shape of his life. That is a good recipe to see that dominant guy that we saw at Duke and all the hype that came with him as the number one overall pick going into last season. I think he comes out, looks just as good, impresses everyone, and is going to make his first All-Star game.
The Houston Rockets.
First prediction about this Rockets season is that Christian Wood will actually live up to the hype and potentially exceed the hype by averaging 20-10 at least this upcoming season in a Houston Rockets jersey. Second prediction is that John Wall actually returns to form and plays even better than his pre-injury days and finds a new home and new life as a Houston Rocket.
The Dallas Mavericks.
All right, two predictions for the Dallas Mavericks. One, I think Josh Richardson is going to have a career year. He's already fitting really well so far in preseason. He's been bombing from three. He's been absolutely hitting it from the outside. So I think he's going to be great. He's going to be great for their defense. It's going to be just a big, major storyline around the Mavericks. And then, obviously, how can you talk about the Mavericks without saying Luka Doncic? Luka Doncic will win the MVP. According to BetOnline right now, he's the odds-on favorite. The next guys on the list, Giannis is next after that at plus 500. But if Giannis wins, that'd be three MVPs for him. These are the only guys that have won three MVPs in their careers. Kareem, Russell, Jordan, LeBron, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson. I think that narrative is really going to hold Giannis back, even if his team is as good or better than last year, and if he's as good, if not better than last year. There's a lot of guys that could get in on this. I think Durant, his comeback year, Lillard, you look at Jokic, some of those guys could sneak in and get the award, but it's Luka Doncic's to lose right now, which is tons and tons of pressure on him, but I think the stats are going to be there, and hopefully the team is good if he gets out to a hot start, even to start the season without Porzingis.
The San Antonio Spurs.
A prediction I have for the NBA season is about Keldon Johnson. I think he is going to take a tremendous leap forward in his NBA career this upcoming season. He's been working like a madman this offseason, from what I've been told, that working out at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, lasting all the way up to midnight. And lastly, I don't know if this is a bold prediction, but I predict we could be looking at the final season of Greg Popovich as a head coach in the NBA for the Spurs. You know, the times are changing, as they say, and he's all on board with it. But how much more does he have left in the tank as far as the coaching? He has duty as a Spurs coach this upcoming season, and he has duty as Team USA's head coach in the summer for the Olympic Games. How much is that going to be taxing on him? Will he want to go out in his coaching career in Team USA, something that he is very pride? He has a lot of pride to represent the United States, something he's wanted for quite some time. I think this could be the final season of Popovich. And if that's true, I think he'd definitely do what he did, like he did, like Tim Duncan did, just a quiet exit. And I think that's what we'll expect from Popovich.
All right, moving on to the Northwest Division. The Blazers, Jazz, and Nuggets all have playoff hopes and all-star implications on the line. The Wolves hope that they have an all-NBA team. And, of course, the Thunder are the ones on the outside looking in. But they hope to take home some hardware from another player. We'll hear from them. Here we go.
The Portland Trail Blazers.
What up, world? It's your Pass First point guard and Blazer beat writer Mike Richmond. I'm coming at you with two hot predictions for the Trail Blazers season. First, this team is a top four seed in the West. The Blazers are going to get home court advantage in the playoffs. Perhaps this doesn't seem like a crazy hot take after the widely lauded offseason the Blazers had, but this team finished in eighth place just a year ago, and while they've upgraded the roster in a lot of spots, there are a bunch of good teams in the West that they're going to have to leapfrog to move up four spots in the playoff seedings, but I think they can do it. This is a top four seed. When May rolls around, the Blazers are going to be hosting a playoff game. Prediction number two for you is that Damian Lillard's going to get some hardware. With James Harden throwing a fit, Giannis Antetokounmpo losing the narrative battle, and LeBron James taking a whole bunch of nights off, Damian Lillard's going to edge out the likes of Kevin Durant and Luka Doncic and win MVP. That's right. Important letters next to Damian Lillard's name. He's going to be the first Blazer to win the Most Valuable Player Award since Bill Walton back in 1978. Dame, make some space on your mantle, because the MVP is coming home to Portland.
The Utah Jazz.
The two projections for this season that I suspect for the Jazz, that the Rudy Gobert extension becomes a very big story before opening night of the season here in the next few days. If it's not done by the time we air this, that will become a very large story that overhangs the Utah Jazz for the entire year. The second one I would say is that Donovan Mitchell asserts himself as the primary ball handler on this team and becomes the Jamal Murray, Dame Lillard. His career trajectory is matching that of Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal, and it continues to do so in those two ways. The thing I'll be most interested in watching is, in a league that's going small, the Jazz have now gone to two bigs in Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors, neither of which are good passers, or particularly good passers, dribblers, or shooters. How many minutes a night can those two play on the floor together? And is the, you know, against a league that's supposedly spreading things out. That is your Utah Jazz preview. I'm David Locke. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Podcast Network.
The Denver Nuggets.
Other predictions? I think Jamal Murray makes an all-star team this season. He's simply too good not to make it. And I do think, actually, in fact, that PJ Dozier is going to wind up having a bigger season than most expect. While everyone's focused on Campazzo at 5'11", Dozier has a kind of athleticism and defensive acumen that I think Michael Malone will look for midway through the season. That's been your Locked On preview for the Denver Nuggets. Make sure to check out Locked On Nuggets with me, Matt Moore.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
I have a couple of Minnesota Timberwolves predictions for you for the 2020-21 season. The first is Karl-Anthony Towns will be both an all-star and on an all-NBA team this year. He has not done either for 2 years. He was on the all-NBA team actually 3 years ago, and 2 years ago was an all-star as well. So he's made two all-star teams, hasn't been on all-NBA since the Jimmy Butler season back in 2018. I think he will do both this year, and here's why. He would have last year had it not been for his injury issues, and then also team performance played into it. The roster is far better than it was 12 months ago, 18 months ago, prior to last year. My second prediction for the Timberwolves is that they will make at least the play-in game. So they'll be a top 10 team in the Western Conference. Of course, the West is fantastic, and it's difficult to look at it right now and look at the rosters and say, okay, here's the teams the Wolves will definitely be better than. However, I do think that the Wolves roster talent is good enough, and Towns and, you know, to a lesser extent, Russell have enough star power that this team can at least manage to be ninth or 10th and be in a play-in game with the opportunity to make the 8-team field for the playoffs. And that sets them up, you know, to at least make the argument to themselves that they have enough of a core moving forward to make a splash in the offseason, making another big trade and add a third star to the roster alongside D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns, setting themselves up for a much better year next year. But the first step in that is being competitive and making at least a play-in game this year. And I believe that the expanded playoff field is going to do just that for the Timberwolves in 2021.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
This is Ryland Stiles, host of the Locked On Thunder podcast, with my two preseason predictions. The first one is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will be a 25-point-per-game scorer. The new lead guard for the Thunder averaged 19 points per game last year while sharing the floor with Chris Paul, Danilo Gallinari, Dennis Schroeder, and Steven Adams. All of those shots are now gone, and they have to go somewhere. Why not to the lead ball handler with Shai? He has already shown aggressiveness this preseason to attack the rim and score at will. I think that'll continue once we start the regular season. Shai seems to be the favorite for most improved player, and scoring 25 points per game would win that award for him. I also think that Al Horford is going to recoup some value around the NBA. You see him running the pick and roll, pick and pop with Shai right now in the preseason, spacing the floor very well. As the defenses focus on Shai and he goes to the rim, it'll leave a wide open Al Horford on the perimeter, and he is going to thrive in a system that's more conducive to his play style, unlike the fit in Philadelphia a year ago. For the Thunder team overall, I think that this team is going to be a competitive team, but they're going to lose a lot of basketball games. This will not be the process Sixers, but this also will not be a playoff team. They're going to still finish bottom four and just hope and pray the ping pong balls bounce their way at the NBA draft lottery.
And finally, let's move out to the best coast in the Pacific Division. Two more teams think that their player is going to win the most improved. That's three in a row if you're counting. A couple more all-star picks, a couple of MVP picks, and then the GOAT conversation. Does it get more interesting? Let's hear from them. Here we go.
The Los Angeles Clippers.
And I have a bold prediction for this.
Okay.
I think there's a chance that Ivica Zubac is maybe in contention for most improved player.
Oh, I like it.
It's the boldest thing I've ever said in my life. I think it might be a possibility. I'm not saying he's a lock, but I think we're going to see some strides with him. I think him and Ibaka might be an interesting pairing at some point. It's going to be terrifying on the defensive end. A little weird on the offensive end. But I'm excited to see the jump that Ivica Zubac can take after taking one last season.
I'm ready to see Nick Batum reestablish himself in the league.
What?
I think that on this deal, he has a chance with, you know, some of the best talent that's surrounded him to really show people what he can do as a playmaker on the wing, hopefully get his defensive step back, and, you know, maybe be in conversation for that Sixth Man of the Year award.
I don't know if that's going to happen at all. What are the odds on that? Are they even giving those? Kawhi Leonard, is there a chance he could be in the MVP conversation?
I don't think so. Given
what?
I don't
not
think
because of him or because of everybody else.
Kawhi Leonard will not be in the MVP conversation because of he has another superstar on the team.
That's fair.
And he doesn't have a good enough narrative.
The Sacramento Kings.
Prediction number one, if you've listened to me, listen to the Locked On Kings podcast, if you follow me on Twitter, it won't surprise you at all. I'm standing by it to the very end, and that is that Marvin Bagley will win the 2020-2021 Most Improved Player Award. Lock it down. Just give him the award right now. It's absolutely happening. Marvin Bagley is going to stay healthy. He's going to put up phenomenal numbers. He's going to remind us all why he was considered such a high pick in the draft. And he's going to prove to the Sacramento Kings and the rest of the NBA that he belongs in the conversation as part of the new Kings young core that 4 years from now will be winning NBA championships. Okay, maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I do believe Marvin Bagley will win MIP this season. Prediction number two, continuing with the optimism, De'Aaron Fox just signed his max contract. He, Bam Adebayo, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum, they all got paid. But what do three out of the four of those have in common? Well, they've been on playoff teams and they've been stars, and De'Aaron is not yet. But he should be, he can be, and I predict this season he will either be an all-star, even if there's no all-star game, or he will be a significant all-star snub. De'Aaron Fox, pay attention to him this year. He is the star. He is the leader here in Sactown. He deserves every penny of that contract that he got. Look, this year is going to be bad for the Kings, but there's going to be fun things to follow. Fox and Bagley amongst them. I'm excited. Can't wait for this season to get going.
The Phoenix Suns.
Number one, Devin Booker will receive at least one MVP vote on a voter's ballot in 2021. Not a first place vote. Most likely a vote. Fifth place or whatever. Just to do that will show how the winning changes how he's looked at and how this franchise is looked at. And it will also signify that Devin Booker and Chris Paul fit together and that the system and the organization turn things around in a successful way. I think he'll score 30 points a game at least and be one of the better, if not elite, offensive players in the league this year, thanks to Chris Paul opening things up for him. Prediction number two, I would say that Monty Williams will become the longest tenured head coach in Devin Booker's career. He will do that shortly into this season, surpassing Earl Watson. And I would say not only that, Monty Williams will make it through this season as the head coach of the Suns and be retained throughout for next season and become the longest tenured Suns coach, the only Suns coach to be brought back for three seasons since Alvin Gentry in 2010, if I have my math correct there. That is my final prediction for this team. I think it'll be a blast to watch and cover and follow the Suns. You can catch any Suns content and news at Locked On Phoenix Suns, and enjoy the season, everyone.
The Golden State Warriors.
I'm Wes Goldberg, host of Locked On Warriors and Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, here with two bold predictions for the Warriors season. The first is that Steph Curry and Kevin Durant will both finish in the top three for MVP this season. Scan the MVP contenders. LeBron James and Anthony Davis already said that they're not going to play every game in the regular season, that they're going to possibly rest a lot of games. That would eliminate both of them. Giannis Antetokounmpo, what are the odds that he wins three straight MVPs? I think they're pretty slim, especially now that the narrative around Giannis has started to flip to, all right, we get it. You're a great regular season player, but let's see what you could do in the playoffs. And Kawhi Leonard is a very similar deal to LeBron James. As far as my other bold prediction, I think the Warriors need to make a move. With Klay Thompson out for the year and Steph Curry's championship window shrinking, I think they need to make a win-now move in order to maximize Steph's chances at winning another ring. I think the Warriors are going to be involved in Bradley Beal and strongly consider trading for Bradley Beal by the trade deadline. This is also assuming another prediction that Bradley Beal will be traded or begin being shopped by the Wizards by the trade deadline, which I think is going to happen. Those are my two big predictions for the season for the Warriors. Hope you guys enjoy this season.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
AD could really vault himself into that best player in the NBA conversation in ways that he hasn't been there consistently for his career. He's always been in that kind of second tier, you know, 5 to 10 range or so. He could really, if he is as good as he could possibly be on both ends of the court, and he messes around and maybe wins an MVP or something like that, or a defensive player of the year, he might belong in some of those best player in the NBA conversations that he hasn't been enough a big enough part in to this point, given his talent level. The other thing too is if LeBron wins number 5 this year and takes another step towards Michael Jordan, you're getting into that range where it's going to be really difficult to make an argument that he isn't the best player of all time.
There you go. Let us know what you thought about our bold predictions. Maybe they weren't bold enough for you, but if there's a couple of them that you agree with, disagree with, let us know on social media. You can follow us at LockedOnNBAPods on Twitter, Instagram, also Facebook. You can check us out there, posting all kinds of good stuff on there about the podcast. And every single day, you know that we are covering every team every day. That's what Locked On does. So we'll hear back from you tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA.